throughout the ages, there have been divisions in the church. There's no doubt about it. Huge discussions, huge arguments, fights even, that have caused churches, congregations, national church, international church bodies to actually divide. There's another one brewing, by the way, in the Church of England. I don't know if you heard the news lately, but the church in England has decided to ordain female bishops, and the rest of the Anglican group are going bananas, especially those in Africa. Unheard of. So will it further divide that church? It's possible. And that's kind of what the church has been about throughout its existence. Always in conflict, always seeming to find things that divide us. And there are those who want to just throw the towel in and leave, go somewhere else. There are others who don't like what's going on and decide to pull out. And on the story goes. People of the world don't understand that. In fact, sometimes we don't even understand it. Why is it? We're followers of Jesus. There should be some sense of acceptance and concern for the other, but the church always finds itself, because it's so human, finds itself in conflict and in need of constant redemption. That, I think, is what Jesus is talking about in our text when he talks about the wheat and the tares, the weeds and the plants that are to grow in glory to God. Jesus plants good seed, but in the end we see that some that come up are not so great. In Israel, and probably good parts of the Middle East, and actually you can find it here as well if you ever see any of the wheat plantations that are around there, any of the fields that are just beautiful right now. I don't know how many of you drive by there. I drive by wheat all the time on the way over. Just a beautiful color. But there are weeds stuck in the middle of them. And in Israel, there was, and in particular in the Middle East, there was one called a darnel, and it was very much like the wheat. It looked like wheat as it was growing. You didn't know it until it began to produce the fruit. And then it became obvious that stuck in the middle of all this were other kinds of plants. But by then, as is the case, the way we plant wheat close together, the weeds found themselves growing and actually intertwined in their root system with the wheat. And so too, that's why Jesus said, don't pull out the weeds, because as you try to do so, you're going to be pulling out other kinds of weeds with it. It's the problem I always had when I had to thin out carrots, if you've ever had to do that. But I must have done it always too soon, because I'd find out trying to pull out one, I ended up pulling out five or six, and then there were large gaps. You try to replant them, didn't work. And so that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. So he says to the group, don't pull them out. Let them grow together. And at harvest time, it will be far easier to separate, mainly because the darnel doesn't produce a fruit that's worth anything. Yet the grain of the wheat is there. And as you throw them into the wind, the wheat settles, the darnel seed flies away. It was easy to separate them at harvest time, and Jesus is basically insisting upon that. We could say that in the words of Jesus, what he is calling for in his text today is not that the church divide itself over its differences, but that it remain united, that it remain together, that they grow together, and allow God at harvest time to decide who should be separated from whom. We can't do it ourselves. We haven't learned how to do it. We will never learn how to be able to distinguish the heart and mind of those around us. It is best, it is appropriate, according to Jesus' words, that saints and sinners grow together. In fact, isn't there a time when we're all saints as well as we're all sinners? It's hard to distinguish at times. There are times, surely, that you hear the words of a pastor and says, now, there's a saint, and there are other times he or she just doesn't live up to your expectations, and you soon discover there's something other than just a saint there. There's a lot of sinning going on as well. Right? Because, you see, in the church, it isn't our sins that separate us, because we all share in that. It's the one thing that intertwines us. Saint or sinner, we're still sinners. even if we are saints. It's what intertwines us. The differences come in how we define our mission and ministry and how we live it out. I think that a church in every age has to decide upon its own purity of doctrine, self-preservation, or its mission and ministry in the church and in the world in which it lives. Has to make that decision all the time. 2009, the churches of the ELCA had to make that decision. There were those who decided that the impurity of the ELCA caused them to want to leave and go somewhere else, to live in some kind of purity of doctrine. But the text today doesn't call us to do that. The text today calls us to remain together, even in the midst of our differences, even in the midst of the sins of those around us. Oh yeah, it's easy to look at the other and say, if you stay here, you agree with the position. And it's so easy to leave and to remain some sense in your mind that you're pure to the soul, at least on one issue so important in our church today. The text today calls us to stay together, calls us to remain together, to test one another's faith, to challenge one another in understanding what our task is and what our purpose is. But to remain together, because only if we divide and we leave, then our focus is not on what it needs to be. In this text, the focus is not on the wheat and the weeds. The focus is on the sower, on the one who planted it, on the one who looks out over that field and only sees wheat, only sees seeds that bear fruit and give glory to God. And so it is with us. We cannot, must not divide ourselves in the midst of challenges, thinking that the one beside us is far more sinful, and so it would be good for me to protect my own faith, to pull away, to draw back, to find another place to worship. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't challenge that. He doesn't say to the weeds, find a way when you can't escape and plant yourself somewhere else. He says, no, keep them together. Allow them to grow, because we recognize as the faithful one that redemption is an ongoing process, a daily concern, and that even the weeds that we look at and sit next to Sunday after Sunday could sometime, maybe it happens without us ever even knowing it, that they too are the saints at times in their witness and testimony. And so if our task is not to evaluate and judge those around us, but rather to find ourselves constantly in the tension of living as both and with both saints and sinners, then what's the message of this story? What is this parable really trying to say? And I think the message is unwritten. Because what it really causes us to do is to focus on our own personal loyalties and priorities and life purpose. We are not to evaluate that in others, but the text calls us to look within ourselves and discover where are our loyalties? Is it in the gospel? Are we loyal, faithful to the essence of the gospel? Are our priorities to live out the priorities of Jesus? To see how he responded to the needs of those around him and to be like Jesus in every way we can? Are our priorities to be the body of Christ in this world, in its witness, in its testimony, and in its service? Is our life purpose to be the sign of Christ in this world? That, I think, is the real question that's being posed today. Stay together. Be united. Allow the judgment that comes to come under God's time. Our task is to look inward as a congregation, as a national church body, and as individuals, and discover again what our loyalties are, what our priorities are, what our life purposes are. And then the task is away from us. The issue is outside of us. Because as the church of Christ, Our loyalties and our priorities and our purpose in life is always to live out and be the sign of Christ, the sign of God made real in this world, in our service, in our witness, in our actions of prayer and study, in being what God has called us to be, the body of Christ. Now, it would be easy for us to throw little bombs at all those who have left under pretenses of wanting to be ever more faithful to the gospel. Without even realizing it, they are still part of the church. They're still part of the body. And though you might be in a different physical place, I'm sorry, but you're still part of the body. We still live together. We still reside. And God will still make the decision, who are the wheat and who are the weeds in God's due time. So then, as a congregation and as individuals, let us continue to look inward at our own heart and evaluate our own loyalties, our own priorities in Christ, our own life purpose to be the body of Christ, and allow then our witness, our actions, and our words to declare to the world in which we live that we are God's people. Now let's take this one step further. Because if as a church we are called to remain united, then the real field that God has portrayed in our text today goes far beyond just these walls, or the walls of the ELCA, or the walls of the church. For we are to be as united and involved in the world at large as we are within the church. No judgments are to be made to those around us. We are just to be what God has called us to be. People who are loyal to the gospel, whose priorities are focused in Jesus, and whose lifestyles are to be the body of Christ, and allow our witness and our actions to be signs of hope for those who wish to hear, to whomever and wherever we come in contact, and wherever that mission might be in the world in which we live. Yeah, there are no judgments from the church. Those are all the actions of God. Ours are to be loyal to the gospel with priorities in Jesus and a life purpose to be the body of Christ. Amen.